In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Some of you may know, I was raised in Wisconsin, lived about 9 years of my life there, moved to Nebraska, lived about 9 years of my life there. I have always been a Green Bay Packer fan. I was raised there. I have had never had a choice in the matter. I survived many winters there, harsh winters and harsh Packer teams. I've also enjoyed friendly rivalry, joking back and forth with many a Bear fan, many Dallas Cowboy fans, and exchanged a lot of good-natured teasing through the years. It's part of what makes sports fun, fandom fun, right? To cheer for us and against them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, seems to leave no room in the church for us and them. At least, Paul sharply criticizes the Corinthian church for divisions among them. Later on in the chapter, he talks about Apollos versus Cephas, Paul versus Christ. Factions and rivalries are not good for the church, says Paul, for Christ himself is not divided. But this is a problem for us, isn't it? The world of Christianity is a world of Christians divided. You have Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians. You have congregational, non-denominational, Bible churches and Nazarenes. And within these groupings, many subgroupings. We belong to one of the many denominations of the church. We follow Luther. We even call ourselves Lutherans. And even more than that, we are part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not just any old Lutherans. Does this mean we have a problem? Does this mean that Paul has a problem with us? I suspect there are two listeners today. Some of you are saying, yes, Pastor, you are right. I am LCMS, and I'm proud of it. If this is you, listen carefully to what Paul says about divisions in the church. Do we wear our synodical membership like a Packer jersey? Do we become puffed up in our purity of doctrine, our excellence, of our education, and the richness of our heritage? How do we speak and think about our church body, and our fellowship of faith? Many of us, in our sinful pride, this is a problem. We need to heed Paul's words carefully. We need to repent of our sinful pride when it comes to our church affiliation and truly follow Christ, not Luther. But maybe you are the other here today. Maybe your affiliation with Synod or with Lutheranism isn't really such a big deal. Maybe you could easily imagine yourself in some other church or some other confession and teaching. Maybe you are one who thinks that differences don't matter and that Paul is saying here that all that matters is Jesus. Keep the main thing right. Pastor, you stick it to those LCMS, prideful people this morning. They really need to hear that. Are you hearing Paul correctly? If you are, please hear a little more. Consider the entirety of God's word, what he has to say on this matter. John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Acts 17. Now the Bereans were of much more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Or from Galatians 1, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Yes, God wants us united. He wants our sad divisions to cease. But he would not have it. He would not have us do it at the cost of his word or by sacrificing his truth. It is a sad, sinful world. Even some Christians teach falsely. In fact, most of the reason why we have so many divisions is because of false teaching. And these false teachings matter. They matter to St. Paul. They matter to our Lord. Because the truth is, the word matters. And it is no small thing. Too often we as Christians have bought into the lie of our culture, of which there are many. But they go something like this. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you really believe it. Doesn't matter, as long as you have the basics down. As long as you try, live a good life. Or maybe this one. I don't think any one church has the corner on truth. Faith in Christ alone is what saves. And so, in truth, nothing really else matters. But the Bible, God's Word, the whole counsel of God is a precious thing. It is a treasure for our benefit. And when we misuse it by teaching or believing falsely, we sin against Him. And we do ourselves no favors either. False teaching, false believing are tools of the devil to obscure the gospel. For he wants you to believe anything and everything but the truth. He wants you to be a prisoner of sin, shackled, bound in lies. But the truth of Jesus sets us free. All heresy starts out with a little bit of truth, but then it veers off course. On September 1st, 1983, Korean airliner 747, flight 007, was flying from Anchorage, Alaska to Korea. And it was found to be off course and flying in restricted airspace. And it was shot down by Russian jets. They thought they were spy planes. But it was found that that slight error off course was a pilot's error. It was off just 1 degree. off course and led into restricted airspace. That pilot didn't mean to go off 1 degree, but that's what false teaching does. Whether it's 1 degree off or 5 degrees off, it leads to hell, to death, to damnation. False doctrine, false teaching, false believing is sin. It's off, and it leads people off course. And here is the blessed truth. We all are sinners and deserve death. But God is good, and in the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you, His blood covers your sins. He offers you forgiveness, life, and salvation. He offers it in His Word, in baptism, and in His supper. You can't earn God's favor with your good works. You can't be saved through having all the right theology, but faith in Christ and in His promises. And that faith is a gift from Him, and it is what saves you. And you know this blessed truth, that your debt has been paid for. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, the kingdom has arrived. Trust His promises that He will come again, that He will raise the dead and bring His people home forever. The word of the cross is the only power. It is truly the power. And it is this word, this truth, that we believe, teach, and confess. We do so boldly, yet humbly. We say what God says, because He has said it. And we are careful to listen and read and understand just what He says. And we believe that this Lutheran Church teaches the truth of God, or else we would be bound to leave it. And this is one thing we can be absolutely certain. The Lord God Almighty hates the murder of innocent unborn children. God is clear on this issue. The church cannot be silent. The church speaks up where God speaks, and the church is silent when God is silent on an issue. We don't speak up about education, taxes, immigration, trade. But this issue, the church cannot be silent on. There is no room for disagreement where God has clearly spoken. Christians, stand up and speak out for the little ones, for those confined to nursing homes, young and old alike. God loves life. God is pro-life. Christians have to stop blending in, going along with the culture, or our government, or our nation, our politicians, or our courts, and what they have been doing. Far too long they have told us to go along with it. We sow the seeds of immorality, and we are reaping the whirlwind of death and destruction. 60 million gone. If the church does not stand up and speak, who will? John 17 says, "They may be one as I and the Father are one." The cross is the only unifier. The cross is what brings us together. It is the event. It is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is God at work. The cross shapes how we are being formed in a society that we live in. The goal is not to have divisions, but to be united. That's Paul's hope and lofty goal. It's lofty thinking, isn't it? Resting on God's word, taking seriously his word of law, clinging to life, to his gospel promises. There is no other way. Let me close by saying that when we do fall, when we are caught up in divisions, when we want to be on the winning side, when we go off track, one side or the other, there he is to call us to repent, to offer us forgiveness, comfort and joy. By his Spirit, he opens the ears of our hearts yet again to hear him speaking to us. Hear him today, forgiven sinners. Hear him for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.